Could you build a business that's better for our planet? That's what I have set out to answer. Hi, I'm Marco Pimentel, marketing expert and entrepreneur and host of the podcast, Someone Like You. I become fascinated in finding creative climate solutions in business, and on the podcast, I break down how founders and CEOs are building climate-friendly business solutions that are opportunities for growth while being better for the planet.
In my opinion, if you have a business that is creating a lot of negative outcomes, then maybe it ought not exist.
On this episode of Someone Like You, I talk with Christy O'Leary, the audacious founder of Decade. Christy's a business consultant who's not afraid to challenge the status quo. She's redefining what it means to build impactful businesses and forcing companies to rethink their very foundations. Forget everything you thought you knew about the divide between profit and purpose. Christy's work proves that they can not only coexist, but actually thrive together. She's been laughed out of boardrooms for suggesting this very idea, but Christy's resilience and the success of her approach speak for themselves. She'll share real-world examples of how businesses can flourish by tackling the world's most pressing problems. We'll also explore why so many companies are stuck with outdated models, including the alarming trend of greenwashing. Christie's fearlessly calls out companies that prioritize appearances over action, exposing those too afraid of public scrutiny to genuinely stand by their values. We'll dig into the hard truths and the future of business, examining powerful tools like impact audits and exploring why a shockingly small number of companies, fewer than 10,000 out of 336 million, are even trying to implement rigorous frameworks like B Corp. But Christy isn't just highlighting the problems, she's offering solutions. She believes businesses that design revenue models around true regeneration will lead the next economic revolution. This isn't just a conversation about sustainability, it's a blueprint for building a better future through business. Whether you're a skeptic or believer, continue to tune in to discover why doing good is no longer optional and how the businesses that dare to change will shape the future. Welcome to the Someone Like You podcast. Lost to discuss, Christy. We got connected from a mutual guest and now friend. You built Decade Impact, and I would love to just welcome you and kind of begin at your kind of earlier part of your career and maybe what led you thinking about being involved in impact.
Thank you. Well, thank you for allowing me to come on the show and have a meaningful conversation today. I feel like everybody has a story. Everybody comes from somewhere. I was really lucky that I grew up in a social enterprise. My parents were entrepreneurs and they owned kind of a general store in rural Ontario that was like a bit of everything to everyone in our town. And, you know, we did a lot of things in that business that, one of the things my father used to say is the nicer we are, the more money we make. And so I feel like, you know, creating an impact business was like, I grew up in one. So when I went out in the world, I was very surprised that this is how the world works, that was not the kind of basis or foundation of how people built companies.
And when we think about impact, like what is impact if somebody were just to ask you on the street?
Okay. The language in the space is a little bit foggy. I tend to use the word impact rather than sustainability or ESG or purpose. I think impact is the most accessible term. And when I think about impact, it's actually really simple. It's that through the operations of your business, you're leaving something better than you found it. And that can relate to, you know, from an ethics perspective, a product perspective, service. I think, and that is very open-ended and allows organizations to define what that means for themselves. I try to keep it pretty low to the ground and accessible for folks.
And you've been working within this impact sector for many, many years. And what has, I guess, when you started in your kind of earlier part of Decade Impact, I'd love to just kind of get into the, like, what was the kind of demand at that stage versus now? So, like, how has it, I guess, just changed over the last kind of, like, you know, 10 kind of years?
Yeah, so I had kind of a long career before Decade. I'm a recovering advertiser and brander. I was very lucky kind of earlier in my career to get access to some projects that created the space for me to kind of expand my mind about the how a creative person could positively affect the economy or you know, engage in that new economy kind of work. But the demand was not strong early on. I definitely got laughed out of boardrooms on more than one occasion. And, you know, but that stuff it's actually kind of healthy for us to have those moments. They're character building and resilience building, and created space for me to go, is this really a thing that I believe in? And I did. And so, you know, I did a bunch of kind of random projects with, you know, unusual or progressive companies over a series of years, probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 years before Decade was born. And Decade was born January 1st, 2020. And it's in the name. I think many of us remember in 2018 seeing those news reports, we have 12 years to stop runaway climate change. And I was really inspired by that urgency. I feel like we need more urgency in the space. And so that's kind of how Decade was born. I will say Decade was a business that I think was made by COVID. I think that everyone, you know, experiencing this singular moment of having, well, not everyone, privileged knowledge economy people, went to our houses and thought about what we were doing with our lives. And there was like the great resignation and this whole kind of purpose revolution during that time. And so I really feel like where we are in terms of the kind of impact space, you know, we have a lot of COVID did a lot of negative things to people and the economy and economies around the world. But it did create the space for people to think about what does it all mean and what am I here to do and how might we use our energy and effort and passion to leave the world better than we found it.
Yeah, when we talk about impact from your side too, you're talking about companies that are, these aren't nonprofits. They can be nonprofits, but by and large you're talking about kind of for-profit businesses.
Yes, I think in my career I've worked with 3 nonprofits. Not that we couldn't serve nonprofits. Our thesis is that we work with for-profit businesses. I feel like that to me is like where my passion space is. Yeah.
And the type of companies that you're working with that would be great to understand is like are these startups? Are they large companies? Are they enterprises, small, all of the above? Like what are the companies that are coming to you that are thinking about how can we build a business that is impactful and have a framework to do that?
Yeah. So I think about when I consider, we have some areas of strength at Decade. And a few of those kind of strength areas are built environment. we love that space of buildings and interventions in space that are meant to stand the test of time. And so there's a ton of impact to be kind of created and stewarded in the built environment. Finance and banking, specifically with credit unions. If we change finance, we kind of change everything. And then food. We do a significant amount of work in the space of food and agriculture. And, you know, people, I think it was Yvon Chouinard that said, when they started Patagonia Provisions as the extension of the Patagonia experiment, he said, you know, people buy a jacket every 10 years from us, but they eat three times a day. So if we're going to change the world, food is the way to do it. So those are the spaces that we really, we have strength and passion in. But I also think what really defines Decade Clients is mindset. I think part of the work we do that is powerful and exciting is the innovation piece and really working with companies on understanding what today is and really leaning into what can tomorrow possibly be and creating almost walking them through a variety of scenarios of what the future looks like. And then once we make some decisions, then we build. And in order to, you know, in order for us to work at our best, we have to have folks on the other side of the table that are really open to that possibility. And so I would say most of our clients can be defined as being highly creative and very comfortable in the kind of abstraction of the possible.
So thinking about which companies or an example company that you've worked with, what would be kind of an example of a company that's trying to have some sort of impact and kind of what's the, like, what would be the steps that you would take and, or how would you potentially kind of get them to have greater impact and bring impact into their organization as an example?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. So we start every engagement with an audit. So just like, you know, we have that as business owners, like the worst thing we can see is the CRA audit coming our way. But that's basically what we do. We go in and we audit, but we don't just look at finance, although that is a huge part of what we do. We look at all functions. And so we just extend an audit through every aspect of a business, workers, community, philanthropy, volunteering, like, you know, the experience of workers, collecting feedback from workers, collecting information in supply chain and doing supply chain research. And then we build a pretty epic gap analysis. And from there we kind of lay out, here's hundreds of actions that you can take. And from there, with all those possibilities laid out, we look at what their strategic plan is, if they already have one in place. Sometimes they don't, and we help them with that. But ultimately, the first step is always awareness. Let's create a baseline. Let's understand today very, very deeply. And then with that data, then we can make really sound decisions about what the future can look like. And once we've done that data, then we go into what I call the impact design phase, where we work with companies sometimes over a number of months. If we're lucky, we get to work with companies over a number of years to help be the kind of their fractional team in the impact space and moving them along the continually moving them along the kind of continuum from good to better.
And do you find that a lot of the organizations that you work with have somebody internally, or are you finding that typically you come in and help on the kind of consulting side and their team kind of takes a portion of it with them and kind of implements it?
Okay, great question. So you asked me a question and I didn't quite answer it. So maybe I'll go back there before I answer, before I respond to that. So we tend to, like, a little more detail, the companies we tend to work with tend to be on the smaller side, not startups. We want to be able to look at historical data to see what is. Because with startups, we're always kind of in the, like, what might be, which is a powerful space. But for our purposes, we really enjoy working with companies with some history. They tend to be a little bit smaller. And so we become their fractional team. And when we're working through that impact design process, we tend to work with as many of the people within the company as we can access. I think that one of the failures in this work is to take a siloed approach, or have, you know, a CEO on high, making some statements and saying, now go get it, go do it, folks. That doesn't work. And then having, you know, the other side is, you know, have really activated people that are really, like, trying to move things forward in a company, but they just can't manage it up. And so when we bring folks together in community and show them the possibility and work through the possibilities and start to operationalize things together, I think we bring out the best in people, and we define really amazing solutions, our strategies to move forward with.
Every week on Someone Like You, we dive into stimulating conversations with founders, entrepreneurs, business owners, and the likes who are consciously and successfully creating sustainable business solutions for the long haul. Tune in every week for a new inspiring conversation on leading climate solutions. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please share it. And also, don't forget, subscribe on the platform of your choice and give us a rating and a review. So all of this so at Redbrick, we became B Corp certified recently, and it took 3 years, which we thought was long, but I found out, you know, later on that's, you know, ends up being somewhat normal depending on the size of the company and everything that you're working on. And so when we think about impact, I think about B Corp, I think about benefit corporations and 1% for the planet. I think about the, you know, Patagonia as a great example. Everything that they tried to do ended up just kind of growing their company and hopefully it grew their impact. They just built this new Holdfast under the Purpose Trust. So all of this, it seems like lots of work. So, like, it's an exhaustive to do all these things. Why do companies do it? Like, what's the benefit to them?
So on the B Corp front, you know, just in the last 5 years, we've certified over 100 companies, or we've worked with over 100 companies that achieved certification, either, you know, in one way or another. So I think, well, the benefits, to me, the benefits are really clear. They're awareness and decision-making. The quality of the business analytics that can be pulled from something like the B Corp framework, well, uniquely B Corp, it's a very unique framework, unlike any other. They're absolutely powerful in terms of helping inform business decisions. So just from an operational efficiency perspective, going through the process, I think it's a little bit of, like, slow down to speed up later. So from a decision-making framework, it adds a ton of value. We see in our clients, we do see sometimes when companies get B Corp certified specifically, we see like a little bump in attrition right away, immediately, and then it levels out and goes way down. And so, and I think what that tells us is that, you know, making, you know, kind of drawing your line in the sand allows employees that are not online, you know, not on kind of aligned with that to find their next opportunity. But then you get to attract folks that really believe what you believe. And I think so, you know, there's the employee kind of retention and attraction. There's good decision making. I think we've seen a PwC just released a report this year. I think I can't quite remember the name of it, the state of purpose or something like that. And we saw even in light of inflation, I think 83% of customers said that they would pay 10% more for something that a product or a service that they trusted was creating some kind of social, environmental, or economic impact. So the data is very strong that that customers want this, want purpose. And I also think for companies, there's different value propositions for different kinds of companies. I think the direct to consumer, the B2C proposition is a little bit different right now than the B2B. You know, I talked to a company yesterday and, you know, within the first 5 minutes of they're like, we don't know if we should lean in and do this work. And they told me they respond to RFPs. And I was like, okay, there's your ROI. You're going to win more RFPs. Let's, you know, so the kind of the return is different for all companies. I think it is very case specific, but overall the trend is strong. I also think that the writing is on the wall and we need to get busy trying to solve some really wicked problems. And it's a whole lot easier if businesses are solving those problems as a path to revenue.
Yeah. The idea of purpose and benefit corps and impact, mm-hmm. and as a business though, although it's growing and B Corps have, I know the B Corp lab and B Corp lab's been growing a lot over the last few years, isn't it? It's still a very, very, very small percentage of companies. Is that like less than probably 1% of companies probably align under those type of criteria?
Sure. Absolutely. Hang on. So there's like a yes, but a little bit. So there's around 9,000, there's 9,310 B Corps in the world. But there's around 336 million companies on planet Earth. So it is a very small percentage of companies. But one of the things that, not every company needs to be a B Corp. I think that actually defeats the purpose of the impact assessment itself. We don't all need to be a B Corp, but we should all adopt better practices.
Yeah.
And I also think one of the things that I commonly encounter when I'm working with companies is that almost always they're better than they think they are because they just don't know where they are. Like they don't have that baseline and they understand their profit and loss. Like they get that balance sheet and they can read that, but that doesn't tell a full story of the health or the potential of their business. And I think that we don't need every company to be a B Corp. We just need companies to lean into the learning and start to adopt the practices that move them closer to business models that create impact.
Yeah, like would you say that, you know, a farmer 25 years ago that would spray their you know, fruit orchard, switched to organic, you know, 15 years ago because it was a better thing to do and kind of just caught wind of it. And now is thinking maybe switching to regenerative agriculture and further doing that. Like they'd never be in a B Corp certified company in that type of instance, but what they're doing is very impactful kind of along the way. So that's kind of like what you're suggesting is that companies need to be thinking around that type of line at its kind of core.
Yeah. Whether a company wants to get certified as a B Corp or not, we perform an assessment on them. Companies that come to us for completely different things, sometimes it's like, well, we're just going to do this because we want to understand what are we working with? Like, what are the ingredients here? What can we actually make within different companies? And I think something that is really important to understand that most folks do not understand about the B Corp assessment is that it measures everything against revenue and expenses. There's a lot of impact measurement frameworks out there. I see a lot of companies that communicate their alignment with the SDGs, the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. That does not speak to their revenue. It just doesn't. And so within that B Corp framework, revenue, either if you're a product company or a service company, you can get to a place by using the tool where you understand, well, you know, 52 cents on every dollar that we that crossed our palms as a company had some kind of social, environmental, or kind of economic benefit or attribute. And I think that is the kind of data that drives innovation. I'm kind of a relentless believer in like know better, do better. And so I think it's just a total game changer when you start to think about revenue as a path to regeneration. Most companies that are doing good, they're kind of doing it unintentionally or in an unsophisticated way, which is fine. But very few companies can bring that lens to the quality of their transactions or the quality of the formulations of their products and really dig into the true outcomes that they're creating. And so I'm a bit of a zealot about B Corp because I do think it is the best tool in the world to build awareness around what is currently happening in your kind of revenue and expenses from an impact attributes perspective, and then how to build forward. And I will say, I also tend to think about it as a design tool rather than a certification.
Well, you mentioned awareness, and being a marketer and understanding how this can also impact, and you already touched on it with the Pricewaterhouse kind of purpose report that consumers are willing to pay more. And I can only see this kind of furthering, like this is just, I can't see this being less demand for companies that are doing good into the future. It just doesn't, I just can't see how that's not going to be playing out. What do companies kind of do with it from a awareness? Like how do they leverage this to make their consumers aware? What are the things that like is kind of important from that perspective?
Okay. Wow. Generally not enough. Generally companies, I see it all the time. Companies really like lean into the work and the awareness and building systems and policies and even products and services that are more impactful. And they're very reluctant to communicate in a way that is bold. I think that the fear of greenwashing keeps a lot of companies quiet. I also think, again, specifically with B Corp, because a company that like becomes a certified B Corp oftentimes, and maybe you can speak to this, they're working. They finally get certified after a very challenging experience, chances are. And it's a little bit anticlimactic. Like they're like, yay, we did it. But it's also like they're tired. I see this a lot in companies that do it themselves. They're like, finally, it's over. And I feel like the game actually starts when they're like, finally, it's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
no,
game on.
Yeah. Like, we separated the two. So we had the team that worked on B Corp was not the marketing team. And the marketing team was kind of saying like, listen, we want to attract amazing people. We want to attract amazing kind of community partners and business partners. We acquire companies as well. So we want to attract that. And so we did separate it. And so the tired team wasn't the team that ended up being the delivery of the awareness piece. For us, that was kind of a key differentiator.
Mm-hmm. One thing I will say is that most companies, once they've completed their B Corp certification, they don't really touch it again for 2 or 3 years. And it's not every company, but that can be the way it happens, the way things play out. The data in that assessment that had to be harvested to get the certification, oftentimes it just stays in that platform and nothing happens with it.
Yeah.
It almost never sees the light of day. And that is the good stuff. That is the powerful evidence. I think there is skepticism about standards. There's skepticism about ESG. There's the business as usual continuing to beat the drum that business as usual is an okay thing and we should kind of maintain the status quo. And meanwhile, all of these amazing companies that are doing amazing things, they sound like they're just speaking from their heart and, you know, speaking from the heart's a beautiful thing, but I think it's sticky when the evidence is presented as well, when they have the receipts.
Yeah.
So most companies leave the receipts in that framework and don't go back for them.
I'm feeling good about how we've structured things based off of all of your feedback, because we have somebody on our team that has taken all that data and broken it down into kind of quarterly goals and working backwards towards how do we kind of improve them. And so it's, I'm glad to hear that we are doing some of the things that we are supposed to do. So, you know, the $1 million question though, I think when a lot of businesses are looking at certification or impact or employees are thinking about going into companies, like, can you have both purpose and profit? Like, I think that's the big one that I think I get often asked, like, how do you have the two work together? And like, you know, we talked about all, you know, there's a bunch of benefits here. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But when it kind of comes to costs and profitability, like is there any kind of correlation that you've seen from the companies that you've worked at or the research that you've done?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually think it's kind of, just from where I'm sitting, I think it's amazing we're still asking these questions. Like when we look at Patagonia, now they're an activist company, so they're taking it to another level. But the more good they do, the more money they make.
Yeah.
And I have definitely seen this in our kind of cohort of clients. Also, I think it's not only the ability to generate profit, it's the resilience, the ability to navigate uncertainty and like dark waters. I think that is one of the potentially one of the most beneficial pieces for companies with that are kind of purpose-driven or impact-driven. But I want to pull on this thread, and I know I've mentioned it, but the impact business model, this to me is like the chef's kiss of the B Corp, the B impact assessment. We don't want to bolt impact onto a bad business model. In my opinion, if you have a business that is creating a lot of negative outcomes, then maybe it ought not exist. And when we look at the attributes of products and services in a way that allows us to clearly define how the revenue from that product or service is in one way or another regenerative or approaching regenerative, moving towards that, I think that is the key. And so I don't see it as like, can purpose and profit coexist? I see a future when all businesses inevitably will be generating revenue and profit as a result of doing something that is beneficial to, you know, people and planet. And I feel like we're already seeing that to a certain degree. It's just there's a lot of noise out there.
In the next kind of 3 to 5 years, or maybe the next 6 years, because if you're thinking about decade impact and mm-hmm. your thought, because I'm assuming you're talking about the 2030 deadline that we have.
Yeah.
What's next for decade impact? Like, where are you focusing and where do you kind of get excited about the next kind of 6 years?
That's a great question. And something I've been contemplating. You know, I think we set out to be a company that proves the model that we can be profitable and we can build a thriving business by doing the right thing. And, you know, we were good at B Corp, but we kind of got a little bit pigeonholed into the B Corp world. Because we got good at it and I love it. Again, I love it. But I think the next few years is going to be focusing a little bit more on future states of businesses. You know, what is the, like, looking a little further into the future. I feel like our practice here has been defined by creating space for imagination, and the companies that we have worked with over the years that did that, that created the space and prioritized the opportunity for imagination and innovation, even though, yes, they're a business, those are the businesses that are 10Xing. In our cohort of companies. Those are the businesses that are really changing everything. And so we have seen that alignment between slowing down to speed up. And so I hope in the future we are working with more companies that are not just willing to, but prioritizing, looking a little more deeply into the future and being kind of determined to really very clearly meet a human or ecological need through their product or service, and being kind of boldly, like, unapologetic about it.
Christy, that was a really great episode, and we talked a lot around, obviously, purpose and impact. Kind of the million-dollar question, can you have both purpose and profit, and can businesses, you know, integrate that and actually have more of that?
Mm-hmm. I think yes, absolutely. The short answer is yes, of course. The longer answer is that when we think about impact businesses, I like to think transition a little bit to thinking about value creation. And so I will say the most impactful companies we work with are the most profitable companies. It took them some time to get there. They had to find, you know, how they were meeting a user need that really, really allowed them to deliver impact to either through a product or through their service. But I think ultimately what I've seen, companies that are leveling up their level, like growing their sophistication in terms of how they think about value creation, are often generating more profit and doing that through a very strong and intentional impact business model.
I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Someone Like You. We're a new podcast, and I would love if you can do a few things. One, please share the podcast with a friend, a family member, a work colleague, anybody that you can think of that would enjoy learning more about these incredible brands. Please also support these type of companies. They're doing the hard thing, and the hard thing often takes a lot of people to get on board. And don't forget, please subscribe on the platform of your choice and give us a rating and review. I'm Marco Pimentel. Thank you for joining us today. For more information on Someone Like You, you can find us on Instagram at Someone Like You Podcast, with all the links to the podcast, our website, and more information about the brands that we feature. Thank you again.